Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
Fuel is now fully flowing to the Southeast United States after Colonial Pipeline picked themselves up from the puddle they were drowning in. Concerned patriots no longer need to worry about hoarding gas in garbage bags, laundry baskets, or cardboard boxes. The artificial scarcity is over, having been created entirely by profit-seeking behavior. Our previous discussion was premised on the fact that the physical hardware and software that operates the pipeline was somehow compromised. The truth is even stupider than we imagined. As it turns out, the billing system was compromised. The corporation decided to suspend operations because they couldn't track who to bill. Our thinking was that if the pipeline could physically deliver fuel, it would be delivering fuel. The idea that a natural monopoly would make a profit-seeking decision shouldn't be surprising. It's neoliberalism. Colonial Pipeline decided to shut down instead of distributing fuel without bill tracking, and their marketing department tried to wrap it in an effort to preserve future operations or mitigate further damage. So to start with, from a science perspective, how do you actually track volume and billing on oil distributions?
What you do is you assume things like laminar flow, and you assume a constant pressure, constant volume, something along that lines of Poiseuille flow, and you know how much is being pumped through. You know your volumetric flow rates in your pumps. You know volumetric flow rates because you probably have some transducers along the way to measure it. So it could be echo. There's lots of different ways, rotameters or pressure drops. There's lots of different things you could do to measure it. Orifices, but orifices tend to break down your pressure flow, so it wastes a lot of energy there, even though they're super cheap. But essentially, any way that you're measuring volume, or at least velocity in the pipe, lots of assumptions are in place. So you can only really measure a volume if you have a constant displacement, or you can measure a pressure drop or a velocity profile, all of which leads to lots of errors. And if you are a giant oil pipeline, you are pumping lots and volumes of oil, these tolerances stack. It's really not as precise as you think it would be.
So the only way to really know how much volume you actually transported out of a pipeline is to physically measure the volume in a container of known volume effectively. So you know how much volume a tanker truck holds. So you can press the on button, wait some period of time, the tanker fills up, press the off button. That's an easy problem. You literally just fill up a volume. But if you're transferring volume through a pipe into another pipe and you can't directly observe it, then everything you just said applies. You don't actually know.
And you probably are weighing it in the truck because you don't actually ever fill up a tanker truck all the way. There's slosh ports so that when the truck stops, it doesn't just blast. The inertia doesn't just destroy the truck and move it forward 20 feet from the sloshing. Then you can have multiple different oil grades or gasoline grades within the tanker truck. So it's really hard to just measure volume. There's lots of ways, again, to measure it. None of them are 100% accurate. Your job is to get close enough because someone wants 10,000 gallons, you give them 9,099. Okay, you give them 10,001, but it doesn't matter.
So this entire premise that we had to shut down our pipeline because the billing system was offline is just total bullshit from a technical perspective because they're already estimating how much oil is being delivered to begin with.
Yeah, they didn't shut down the oil because the OT network, which is the operational technologies network, OT network, was attacked, or the controls from the IT to the OT, which is the bridging, or anything in the technical side. They literally attacked the billing, and they shut down the entire Southeast in order to make sure that the boss got paid. It is exactly the most insane neoliberal nonsense ever. This is the reason why you can't trust corporations to make the best decision, because they never will. This is an example. Everybody in the world that thinks that corporations like you, they don't. Because if they liked you, they wouldn't make you suffer like this.
So here's the timeline of what happened, and we know more now than we did on our previous episode. So on May 6th, which was, I guess, two Thursdays ago, depending on when you listen to this, DarkSide, the evil Russian front, which was really just an incompetent criminal organization, stole a bunch of files from Colonial Pipeline. We don't really know what these files are, but they stole a bunch of files. Then on May 7th, which was the following Friday, the ransomware attack took hold. This was previously unknown, but Colonial basically paid the ransom as quickly as possible. And it turns out the ransom was in Bitcoin, and it was 75 Bitcoins, which had a rough value of $5 million-ish dollars, depending on when Elon Mustard tweeted that day and affected the price of Bitcoin. The media wanted to present that the Bitcoin was completely untraceable and who really knows, and this group was super secretive about it, but the episode title is literally the Bitcoin address where the transaction allegedly occurred. The entire Bitcoin ledger is public. That's the blockchain. That's the entire premise behind Bitcoin, is that the blockchain, which holds all the transactions, is public and is distributed everywhere. Like, that is the point.
It's verifiable by everybody. It's designed that way so that you don't have a man-in-the-middle attack on the cryptocurrency.
Because the transaction was done in Bitcoin, it effectively ensures that the criminal organization receiving the Bitcoin can't really do anything with it, because everybody can just go and flag this transactional address, basically, and say, do not accept money from this address. It's no different than a bank freezing your account. That's what's going to happen with this Bitcoin.
They shouldn't, because it's supposed to be a quote-unquote currency. Why the hell do they care if some scumbag oil company paid some scumbag hackers $5 million? Nobody should give a shit. It doesn't matter.
So after Colonial paid this ransom, they attempted to restore all of their encrypted information. And the fun part about this is that the hackers actually provided them the decryptor, but it was too slow. In fact, it was so slow that they were able to recover from backups. And this is very nebulous, so we're going to go into it. If you are a IT corporation, you should be backing up your information. How frequent?
At least every day at 2 o'clock in the morning. I really don't understand this, because normally you have failovers, and normally you have, like, you know, VPCs or virtual private clouds that are backing all this up, like, through your providers. And normally you have, like, lots of different redundancies backed up with encrypted traffic so nobody can actually do this. Everybody should be fired. Guess what? They were.
Colonial attempts to recover after paying this ransom immediately. They knew they were fucked immediately, and they paid the ransom basically as quickly as they could. And it's actually kind of fun to figure out how this incompetent IT department figured out how to transact $5 million in Bitcoin so quickly. Like, who do you call?
So maybe they had $5 million cash on hand. They probably already had sales for that day. Then you have to go to a brokerage and say, I'd like to broker $5 million in Bitcoin. You don't jump on your purse that you have on your phone. You don't jump on, like, Robinhood or whatever that is, app on your phone, and do this. You have to go through a real broker. And they're able to do it in a day, but they can't, like, back up. They can't restore. Like, I don't even understand this. This is, like, 1985 tape technology, I guess.
So if you are Colonial, you should have a backup that is quite literally a stack of hard drives that sit in a room. And if shit gets super hairy, you just restore, like, everything. And this backup probably doesn't happen daily, but it should be a good enough backup that you can get your billing system operation.
What's interesting to me, and you've talked about this before, is, you know, what the restoration process looks like. I don't actually know what they restored, because I don't know if they corrupted the PCs that the dickheads were using, or I don't know if they corrupted their master data somewhere, so they had no idea what's going on. All I know is that if you have Microsoft as your Office platform, and let's say you're handling invoices through email, like you literal PO through email, which is one way that you can get it with, like, Coupa or other places, like these big name things. Like, if you're using, like, an Office 365, it's already backed up in the cloud. You literally have your day's transactions already transacted for you. And if you're using third-party solutions like your Workday and your Salesforce and everything else, your CRMs, guess what? They're already backed up for you. So I don't actually understand what a large corporation like this was doing behind the scenes besides just literally raking in money. How I know they're raking in money is because they didn't give a shit about upgrading their technologies because it cost too much money. I'm sorry, it cost too much profits. And that's the big hang up here, is it was not profitable or as profitable to be in a modern 2021 security stack.
And at the end of the day, it only cost them $5 million to not be up to date. So after they paid the money and they got their decryption thing, they realized it was too slow. So they reached out to the federal government, and it's unclear exactly what happened here. It sounds like they were able to restore some of their data from backups. We don't really know what backups means in this context. Did they have a daily backup? Did they have this stack of hard drives?
We don't know.
What we do know is that it took until May 12th to have a full restore. So if you have a backup and you don't have a disaster recovery plan that can be applied quicker than 5 days, like, your entire IT department needs to be shit-canned, and they were. But the other thing that appears to have happened is that third parties and some government entities were also able to somehow reconstruct backups based on caches. And I don't know if this is, like, you had data in your CDN, your regional cloud provider had cached some stuff and it just happened to be there still, or if they actually had backups like in a formal cloud like Amazon or Microsoft and they were paying these people and they just mirrored their data once a day or something. Or is there some like weird, the entire internet is really being duplicated for state monopolies basically, and we have all this data copied anyway?
Yeah, they're infrastructure, so they're automatically, without them knowing it, part of a backup schema because neoliberalism considers them to be crucial to survival or something.
Right, the government determined that their security infrastructure was important, so they paid another corporation to make sure that this other corporation was protected or something like that. We really don't know, but the point is that it took 5 days once they paid the ransom to restore operations, and that is absolutely wild.
I don't know what the fuck they were doing. This is so wild to me. As a worker, you need to get to work, so you need gasoline, and you have a commute, so you have to have gasoline in your car. You're not rich enough to have an electric vehicle or even the infrastructure to support an electric vehicle. You rely on literally gasoline being there as a commodity. It must be there. It has to be there. It's just like electricity. It's just like, you know, natural gas. It's just like any other utility. So now gasoline is a utility because it's required for you to live. And then the federal government contracts essentially through grant giving and permitting and all the regulations and legalities, one corporation to manage, 45% of the volume or something crazy in 8 states, some just insane amount of volume, who decide that they're going to not ship it because they're going to lose money.
Because their billing fucking server is down.
Which is insane to me for a couple reasons. One, you suffer. You literally suffer from this. The second is the government relies on corporations like corporatism, like literal corporate existence, to provide you with your means of survival. It's literal fascism in that sense. Now, everybody will argue, oh, it has to be authoritarian right and all this nonsense. But if you look at the reason why fascism exists, is because Germany had to partner with corporations. It's a literal partnership with corporations. That's what it is. The type of government rule doesn't matter. It's the economic model. And the economic model right now is neoliberalism, which is essentially fascism.
So in Nazi Germany, corporations literally created the Air Force for the Germans under the table because the treaties of World War I prohibited Germany from having an offensive military. So they had corporations in Germany do it. Literal origin of fascism. And that's what you're seeing here with this oil pipeline being run by a private corporation, which, by the way, is partially owned by Koch Industries. So big, bad, scary word right there because the Kochs are evil or something, right?
Yeah.
They fucked up and chose profits over the well-being of basically the entire Southeast fuel-derived economy for a week.
Millions of people. People who are so desperate for preserving their way of life, they're filling up laundry baskets or 35 gas cans or cardboard boxes or grocery bags and catching their car on fire. And the crazy part is, do we blame some of these people for hoarding? No, I mean, it's a natural response. We think they're assholes for doing it? We do. But it's still a natural response for you to panic and try to preserve yourself because you've had basically a year of panic. You've had a year of not understanding the world around you and everybody's talking about, you know, pandemics and death and all this stuff. So of course, fuel shortage adds to another, like, you know, oh God, we're all going to die type of mentality. You go out and you act irrational. But the problem is that A, their local governments could have stepped in and said, no, we're rationing gasoline or whatever it needs to be. And B, the stores could have said it. But guess what? The stores don't give a shit. Because why? They wanted to sell out all their gasoline. Because there's no benefit to the corporation to try to help you. That's the biggest takeaway. They see some dickhead filling up a laundry basket that's potentially going to catch everybody else around them on fire. It's okay. Because they're selling it to this person. They put their credit card in the machine. The plastic money said it was good to go. And it's okay, go ahead. Nobody else cared. Everybody else was also panic-stricken and sitting in line pumping the rest of the fuel out. Well, what I'm getting at is there's ways that you could have actually rationed this that would have been rational. Not only should a company have a disaster recovery plan, local and federal governments and state governments should all have disaster plans like this. I don't even understand it.
In the event of a gas shortage, this is what we will do. We will reserve oil capacity for important infrastructure like hospitals, emergency response, power plants, whatever that list is. Instead, we just sold it as quickly as possible to any random poor person that wanted to hoard gas.
To prevent the federal government from stopping profit motives. That's literally what happens. You have to sell as fast as you can so you don't get told what to do.
But fear not, Joe Biden, in a speech on Thursday, which is a day after the pipeline functionality was restored at Colonial, gave, I'm going to characterize it as a rambling, incoherent speech, where he discussed the virtues of public-private partnerships and how the private sector needs to take care of security because it's important and serious.
My administration is continuing to safeguard our critical infrastructure, the majority of which is privately owned and managed, like Colonial Pipeline. Private entities are in charge of their own cybersecurity, and we know what they need. They need greater private sector investment in cybersecurity. And that's why we launched a new public-private initiative in April that is focusing on strengthening cybersecurity in the electric sector for natural gas, for pipelines, as well as water systems and other lifeline sectors.
He then went ahead and forecast that the pipeline issue would be resolved in the coming days, because he literally knew that it was already resolved.
As I said, we expect the situation to begin to improve by the weekend and into early next week, and gasoline supply is coming back online.
Promise kept. Good for him. And then he rambled about how nobody is going to profit.
Nobody should be using this situation for financial gain. That's what the hackers are trying to do. That's what they're about, not us. That's not who we are.
It's like, well, Colonial, like, they did. Objectively, what happened?
They absolutely did not lose money on this. In fact, some can say that with the amount of attention that they got and the amount of federal government help, that they probably came out ahead on all of this. You're getting fucked every day, and that's how you know that capitalism is working as it's supposed to.
At the end of Biden's press conference, he was asked,
"Were you briefed on the fact that the company did pay the ransom?"
I have no comment on that. Thank you.
So he neither knew or did not know about the ransom being paid by a company that presumably the Department of Interior or somebody called to see what the hell was going on over there. Department of Energy, who one of his cabinet members probably called on the phone, like, what the hell is going on here? He had no idea. Huh. I believe Joe Biden.
So either Joe is intentionally obfuscating and he knew, which is what I think we would hope to be the case, or he had no idea, in which he's absolutely incompetent.
At the end of the day, the worker suffers through public-private partnerships, because they essentially give away everything that you own collectively for profits. That's a literal thing that happens. You should never trust anybody, especially the neoliberals, when they tell you that it's a good thing. It never is. Look at who owns the electric company or the natural gas. I mean, these are all public-private entities that siphon money off for profit. A corporation is entrusted to supply the fuel for the entire Southeast. They were compromised by a hacking group, and the billing operation was affected. Instead of the corporation doing the right thing, which would be to just make phone calls and do the billing, they decided that they were going to shut down to preserve their own profits. This is literal neoliberalism at its finest, and the Biden administration has allowed this to happen and is now actually pumping it up as a good thing. Instead of the federal government coming in and seizing the means of production and forcing them to do this and deploying FEMA down there to take care of all the billing, they just let it happen and they paid the ransom and So basically, capital was motivated to preserve profits. It did, and now it's being applauded by the Biden administration for doing the right thing.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.